Do you want to be healthier, yet you just don't know what to do? All these shows telling you this and that, but nothing seems to work. Well, listen close. Golden State Media Concepts has got something great for you. The health and wellness podcast dedicated to workout trends, healthy eating habits, diet, and everything about healthy living. Join us in our banters as we help you not just live life to the fullest, but live it to the healthiest.
Welcome to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey, and even though I'm not currently in school, I'm already starting to feel the sort of like tiredness that comes along with back to school of like, oh, now we're back to tests and studying. And I didn't actually feel that too much until college. I liked school quite a bit when I was younger, and it was pretty easy for me. And then I got to college and it wasn't. And suddenly it was just like, oh, yeah, this is going to require more work than I'm used to. Goodness, what do I do here? I don't know what to do. And I had two majors. So I had a lot just going on, period, at college, and found myself being very stressed, I would say probably at least 90% of the time. And I know a lot of people do also feel stressed. I kind of feel that that's just college. I'd actually like to know, listeners, if you went through college and were like, nope, this is fine, I'm good, I've got everything handled, please like let me know how you did that, because I just, college stress, those seem like, you know, almost synonyms. Just how do you have one without the other? Or you certainly can't have college without stress, it doesn't seem to me. But so anyways, even though I'm not in school now, I'm starting to, and maybe this is like a psychosymptomatic reaction to, oh, it's fall, that means stress is coming, I need to get ready, I'm starting to feel a bit stressed myself, starting to feel a bit overwhelmed. I've got a number of things going on in my life right now, and it's just like lots of things have to be juggled. I don't know that I have enough time for this. I certainly don't seem to be getting enough sleep for this. It's just like, I don't know what I'm doing. How do I do this? So I thought it would be a good thing for this episode to then talk about how to handle being overwhelmed. And most of the info for this comes from a site, thinksimplenow.com, which was almost like, I won't say fate that I found this site, but it seems a very interesting coincidence, because I'm currently reading a lot about like simple living and simplicity, partly because I just feel so stretched out in so many directions. I'm like, can I just only have like one or two things I have to deal with? How do you do that? Simple living? Okay, what is that about? So in looking up how to like handle being overwhelmed, I found this site which talks about that. And I was just like, such a fortuitous thing. It's the site talking about what I'm looking for. And the site is about, like, at least by the name, Think Simple Now, is like, seems to be about something. I was like, love you. Immediately going with you, whatever you say. I need to like follow you at least for the time being to figure out, you know, what the heck I'm doing. So on the site, they actually start with, they call it the six ingredients to overwhelm and stress, or essentially why people start to feel overwhelmed and stressed. And I love that the first one is expectation, because I definitely have that problem of like expecting things and it doesn't work out and being very disappointed and sad. And that's a whole nother story. But they say that the number one source for stress and overwhelming anxiety is our expectation on a particular outcome. In trying to satisfy that expectation, we place unnecessary pressure on ourselves, thus causing stress. And I think anyone who's ever sort of, you know, planned a big event probably knows how this is, or especially people. And I do this too, though. I think of it as being prudent, but it might just be causing myself undue stress. I like to think of like, okay, if I'm going somewhere to a special event or if I'm preparing for something, what are like all the possible worst case scenarios and how can I prepare for those so that, you know, if they do happen, I'm still good. It's not going to completely throw me off. But that definitely then does cause me a lot of stress having to think of all those and sort of as things are going on, running through my expectations. Is this happening? No. Okay. It's not happening right now. So it might actually be this outcome would be happening. It's just like not even ever really being in the moment. And especially again, if it doesn't meet up to my expectations, then I'm really sad. If it's like my expectations were bad and it's not as bad as I thought it would be, it's like, oh, well, it's not as equally as good as if like I had high expectations and it met those high expectations. Just like, it's very hard to win for me at times in those situations. But then the second thing they talk about for an ingredient for being overwhelmed and stressed is taking on too much. And again, that is definitely something I struggle with. I don't know that I've ever not done that. I've always sort of had numerous things going on at once to the point that it's like, if I didn't, I don't know what I'd do with myself or my time. And I think a lot of people feel that way. And especially in our modern day society, we definitely, I won't say glamorize being busy, but you do see that of, oh, I'm so busy. I never have anything, you know, I never have time to do enter thing here. Almost as a boast, well, people will say that. It's like, I'm so busy, I don't have time for whatever. And it's like, okay, but wouldn't you rather have time for whatever this thing is that you supposedly, unless you know it's something you don't want to do and then you're using your busyness as an excuse to get out of it. But if it is something you actually kind of want to do and it's just like, where could I possibly cram this in to my schedule? I don't know that you should be cramming things into your schedule. If you have to cram things into your schedule, that might be a sign that you are taking on too much. But there are also people who just aren't really good at saying no. So they might be those people who, again, use busyness as an excuse to get out of something they don't want. But it's just like, if I don't have a legitimate, more important than the thing I'm saying no to excuse to get me out of it, then I have to say yes. Something along that lines of like, if it's not really super important of, you know, I can't volunteer for my school's PTA or whatever because I'm already volunteering at the homeless shelter, but it's just rather, I'd rather just, you know, stay in on Thursday nights and not have to go out. We feel sort of guilty of like, you know, taking time for ourselves as if that was a really terrible thing. I don't know why, and I'm not quite sure how society's gotten that way, but I think a lot of people definitely can feel that way, which leads to the number three ingredient, pressure on self. So lots of people place unnecessary and unreasonable pressure on themselves through self-criticism and other negative self-talk. So it's like going along with the keeping busy thing. If I don't want to do a certain thing just because I'd really rather just stay in the house and read, and I am an introvert, so that's kind of my go-to one of, can I just stay in and read the book or whatever? But then it's like, I'm a terrible human being. I don't care about others. I'm selfish. You start getting all this negative talk of like, you know, if I don't do these things, oh, then that means I'm a horrible human being and not just like, I'd like to relax for once. And same thing, even if it's not about busy, just, you know, having a lot of things going, I can automatically get into a negative self-talk, especially if, you know, I feel I didn't do certain things the best, like I wasn't fully prepared for that meeting or in the thing I normally do, like every week, I wasn't as good as I have been. It's just like, oh, that's because I suck at it. Even though I've totally done this beforehand, it's just like, oh, I suck. Oh, I'm terrible. Oh, I'll never get it. Tend to be somewhat fatalistic like that. And that obviously is not helping at all with the feelings of being overwhelmed and stressed. So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast, where today we're talking about how to handle being overwhelmed. But currently we are talking about things that can lead to you being overwhelmed. And before the break, we were talking about pressure on self, which fits very nicely with the number four ingredient to being overwhelmed and stressed, which is perfectionism. I definitely was like this a bit more when I was younger, but I've gotten a bit out of it just because for things I felt I needed to be perfect. And then later, you know, when they weren't and the world didn't end, it was just like, what was the point of all that? Why was I stressing so much about that? It's not that big a deal. I just don't care that much anymore. So I've definitely eased up a bit on this, thank goodness. But even if you don't, you know, normally consciously think that you have a sense of perfectionism, you can often feel the resulting anxiety and stress in the body without necessarily knowing where it's coming from. So even if you're like, oh, I'm not a perfectionist. Oh, that's not me. If you have that tendency without fully knowing it, you could still be like, I'm stressed about a thing. Oh, why am I stressed? I don't know what's going on. And that obviously can help lead to that feeling of being overwhelmed. There's also the ingredient of control, or rather, you know, sort of always wanting to be in control, which is, you know, somewhat of a exercise in futility because I'm not sure that's ever really possible in life. But one of the resistances to releasing control is the lack of trust in other people and trusting that they can do the job as well as us. So like, you know, micromanaging, but not just at work micromanaging, but if you're like always, if you assign something to like your children, like a chore, but then you don't think they'll do it properly, so you end up doing it yourself. It's like, well, what was the point of telling someone else to do it? What was the point of delegating this task if you're just going to then do it yourself? No wonder you're stressed. You don't ever even let yourself have time to rest because you're too busy doing the things you totally could have let somebody else do. But that requires, you know, believing that they actually can do the thing you're telling them to do. So the realization that we don't have the capacity to do it all then gives us that, you know, strong sense of daunting reality and stress. And finally, going along with that is being an overachiever. So I think I fall into this one even more so than the perfectionist one, whereas I don't expect everything I do to be perfect because that's, you know, technically impossible probably. I do feel like, you know, I have to have a bunch of achievements or then I don't even know what exactly. And it's not that there's anything wrong with having a lot of achievements, but it shouldn't be sort of achievements for the sake of achievements. If, you know, you happen to really like, I'm going to go with wood carving. That's a really random choice. But if you happen to really like wood carving and you've won, you know, several wood carving competitions, which I'm also just going to assume are a thing, that's cool. If you happen to have won several wood carving competitions because wood carving is a thing, you know, your father liked and your brother's really good at, but you're not so much and you have to work at it and it's only really so you can have the trophy to boast about, but not really something you particularly care about, that's a bit different. So if you're having a lot of things just to be able to say, oh yes, I am, you know, the head of my son's PTA and also the president of this and also the leader of this. Okay, but are those all really things you care about? Or is that just to, you know, at least subconsciously be able to say, oh, look at me, aren't I great? And if so, you know, it's very hard, I think, then for people who have that tendency to just sort of be like, I'm okay, just being okay. I don't have to be the best. I don't have to be the brightest. I don't have to be, you know, unique or special or something different from everyone else and above them. I'm okay just being me. I think that's something a lot of people can struggle with. But now we are going to get to ways to cure being overwhelmed and stressed. So where this site had 6 ingredients for being overwhelmed and stressed, it has 8 ways to cure them. So you have a good chance of being able to do this. There's more of the good than the bad, so hopefully some of these will work for you. So the first thing they list is step out. You have to step away to be able to view your circumstances from a fresh perspective. And this is not just like metaphorically, you know, step away to look at it. It's like actually physically as well. So they suggest move to a different room, get up from your desk, sit in a different chair, go out for a walk, or go sit in a cafe. Stepping out from the current situation and changing your physicality will help you gain clarity and shift you away from the overwhelmed state of mind. And I've heard this a number of times, even just about, you know, especially the sort of go for a walk thing. If you're stressed, if you feel especially, you know, sort of blocked at something, if you can't quite figure it out and you've been staring at it for like 40 minutes and it's still just stuck in your mind, go outside and take like a 5-10 minute walk. And there's something about both getting your blood going with the walking, but also seeing the moving images sort of as you walk past things that a lot of research has shown, you know, can actually benefit you. The second thing they recommend is to think about what is most important. So when you step out and you're hopefully outside in nature, if weather allows, walk, ask yourself, what is the most important thing for me and how do I want to feel? So you should focus on doing things that are important to you instead of lots of unimportant tasks that overwhelm you. And I actually remember, I cannot remember now where I first heard of this, but there is a, I'm going to call it a chart, which has a name that I've also forgotten, where you chart things by whether they're urgent, not urgent, important, and not important. So for things that are both urgent and important, those are things you should do right away. For things that are important but not urgent, you should make a plan for those of when you will tackle them. For things that are urgent but not important, you should, they often say delegate. And again, that's one of those things I'm just like, yeah, but what if there's like nobody else? And not like because I don't trust them to do this, but like literally there's nobody else. This was a very, you know, particular task that I took upon myself because I like to overburden myself for some reason. And so it's not like I can actually delegate this task. But they often, especially in a work setting, they put this as things that are like emails that aren't immediate. So, you know, they're urgent but not important. But it's like, okay, I do need to answer your email, but this is not the most important thing as opposed to like, you know, the presentation in 20 minutes. So maybe delegate someone else to, you know, plan that meeting or whatever. And then for things that are both not important and not urgent, just sort of be like, they often say, you know, just delete that, cancel that, whatever. But I think it would also help to sort of stop and think about why that's even like on your to-do list to begin with. It's not important. It's not urgent. Why was this added to the, you know, Santa's check it twice length list of things you need to do if it's neither of those things? So I think rather than just be like, okay, scratch that out, I don't need to do it, think about why I was on there to begin with and what, you know, what your sort of habits are of putting things on, okay, I need to do this, 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 and this. But they also say that another technique to figuring out what is important is to start asking the question of why we are doing something and following the answers with another why. And I think this technique is so interesting because I have a half sister who is 8 years younger than me. So when she was about 2, I was about 10. I forget what it was. They were out visiting and we were going to the mall or something. And it started with, oh, we're going to the mall. Oh, why? Oh, because we want to go shopping. Oh, why? And it's just like, stop asking. It was this never ending list of why questions. And I'm like, I can't. Eventually, I'm going to get to, you know, I don't have an answer for this. There's not an answer for every why. But I do think it is very interesting because often the reason you think you're doing something, it may not actually be the thing itself. It may be the reason is more important. So, for example, the example I saw for this was like, you know, why are you working overtime? Oh, well, to earn more money. Well, why are you earning more money? Oh, to take care of my family. Well, why do you want to take care of your family? Oh, because I care about them and all these things. So it really turned out it's not so much you want to work overtime, and I'm not sure who really does. And it's not so much you know, you care about the job even or what you need to do for it. It's about, I care about my family. Okay, is there a way to then actually focus on your real true why and not, you know, all the steps in between? So we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. We are now talking about tips to help you cure being overwhelmed and stressed. And the third tip they list is journaling. I do this too, actually, and this is really the only way I journal. I'm not one of those people like, oh, let me write down what I did every day, to the point that when I did read Anne Frank's diary when I was in middle school, I was just like, you remember conversations? You remember what people said? Because I'm not writing that down at all. Like, I only usually go to my journal when my emotions are high and I need to get it out before I explode. So this also helps for sort of, I'm going to use the term brain dump. They suggest that whenever you're feeling overwhelmed because there's likely a lot going on inside your head, the best thing to do is to dump it out through writing. And this has been shown in a number of research of just, you know, dumping things out. A, helps you sort of see them all out at once, can help you organize them, but B, can actually help you just get it off your mind of, okay, now it's out, it's on paper, I can refer back to that later if I need to, I don't have to worry about it so much. Whew. But they also suggest that when you do this brain dump or journaling or whatever you want to call it, write it without editing. Don't, as you're writing, and this is really hard for me, don't, you know, start going, oh, that's stupid. Oh, I shouldn't say that. Oh, why would I say that? Just write it all out without even thinking about it, like free writing. And if you have a bunch of to-dos, you know, write it sort of in a to-do list. If you have an idea, brainstorm it on paper, but don't go back and edit or judge it till you get it all out. Because if you do it as you're going along, you're just creating more problems for yourself. The fourth tip they give is to give up control. Again, very hard, I know, especially for, again, those people who, you know, don't trust other people to necessarily do some of the tasks. That can be definitely difficult, but it is also the quickest way, they say, to cure being overwhelmed. The fifth one, going along with that, is to ask for and allow help. So often, we ourselves are the problem that is disallowing help from happening through our limited thinking. Especially if, and this sort of goes back to the number one like cause of being overwhelmed and stressed, expectation. Especially if you're already imagining before even asking that someone's going to say no, and then you don't even bother to ask. I mean, at the very least, the worst thing they can say is no. So you'd still be right where you are. So unless, you know, asking someone for help involves a like very momentous task of, you know, having to climb a mountain for 20 miles because that's where they live at the top of it and there's no other way to reach them. If it's a simple email, text, phone call, and the worst thing they can say is no, and that doesn't change your situation, by all means, go ahead, give it a go. Number six tip, creating boundaries. This again goes back to the sort of feeling guilty thing of how can I say no to certain tasks if I don't have a stronger, more legitimate reason. But once you've decided what's important and how long you want to spend on that task, Create boundaries around those important activities and do not budge whatsoever. So even if it's just, you know, oh, Thursday is my stay-in night, don't do anything else. If Thursday is your stay-in night, that is a thing. Like for some people, they even suggest, you know, writing this in your calendar, like an appointment. You have to schedule for yourself, this is relaxed time. This is, you know, chill out time. This is the, you can't do anything else during this time. This is not free time. This is an actual time you have scheduled. And therefore, things that need to be done at a different time. Number 7, shut out noise. So when we feel overwhelmed, it feels comforting to do something mindless, like watching TV, browsing the internet, just getting on YouTube and going down the rabbit hole. That is one YouTube video to another, to another, to another. But what we forget during this time is that the extra information that comes in becomes noise. And this further clusters our already overwhelmed state of mind. So the best thing we can do for ourselves when we come home feeling overwhelmed, don't get on the computer, don't turn on the TV, do something that sort of slows your mind down. For some people, this might be reading a book, but not a book that's like, oh, I can't wait to finish this. Oh, I have to finish this, especially something for a deadline, but rather just something slow and relaxing, possibly not a big, heavy topic. Something that doesn't necessarily make you think all that much, but won't put you to sleep either, and that you don't have any particular urge to have to get through, so you can just take your time. Likewise, and getting to the 8th tip, bedtime ritual. So doing things that quiet your mind instead of cluttering it will help you sleep more settled and wake up feeling more refreshed. So I have this on my smartphone. I set the bedtime app, and that's more just because I kind of wanted to track my sleeping and see, you know, how often I wake. I used to have an app that would track like your body movements, and so depending on what time you wanted to wake up, it by tracking your body movements or something knew whether you were in like deep sleep or light sleep. And so if you were in a light sleep maybe like 10 minutes before your actual alarm time, it would wake you up though at that time, because in 10 minutes you might be into a deeper sleep and that would make it harder to wake up. So it had this like half hour window where it would wake you up if you were clearly, you know, not in a deep, deep 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes, 20 more minutes mom state. But I do use the bedtime app because I can set an alert to say, okay, how far in advance do I want it to go to say, hey, you wanted to go to sleep at whatever time. You can set it for at that time, 5 minutes, an hour. And I like to use it for an hour to try and remind myself to get off screens, because there's been a number of research studies about, you know, how blue light and the light from screens affects you and can keep you awake. And so you shouldn't be looking at that about an hour before you want to go sleep. But you can also have other things for a bedtime ritual, a warm bath, listening to soothing music. I know some people do yoga, and I think that possibly depends on the type of yoga. You probably don't want to be doing like, you know, hot, sweaty vinyasa yoga right before bed. Or maybe you do if that helps you sleep. But I think for a lot of people, you know, more gentle, soothing yoga might be more beneficial. So from all these tips, they say, treat the feeling of overwhelming anxiety as your friend. For it is an emotional indicator letting us know that we need to slow down and to readjust our center of focus on something else that makes us feel better. So if you are feeling overwhelmed, take note of that. And don't just be like, oh, this is one more thing I have to deal with. But rather, take that as your body is telling you something. And perhaps you've got too much going on and you should slow down, or, you know, drop some things, or whichever of these tips that hopefully will help you. So, thank you for listening to the GSMC Health and Wellness Podcast. We will see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Health and Wellness Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.